during this entire season of Advent, and Advent is the season of preparation for this. During this entire season as a church, we have been paying attention to what the angel said. If you look at the bigger Christmas story, angels are showing up a lot, and so we were trying to pay attention because we realized on the very first Sunday of Advent that the word angel comes from a Greek word, angelos, which means messenger. And so we wanted to pay attention to whatever this message was. And throughout the larger Christmas story, there are a bunch of messages. First, the angel shows up to Zacharias. Then he shows up and gives a message to Mary. Then he gives a message to Joseph. And then 2 days ago in church, we looked at the message that the angel gave to the shepherds. Tonight we get to finish the story, because now we get to look at the final message, and it's what the shepherds, plural, said or sang to the shepherds. We find this in Luke chapter 2. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with angels. Okay, heavenly host, pretty much an angel army that sings, apparently. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Okay, this evening, we're just going to look at two words in this message. First word that we want to look at is the word glory. Glory to God. So what does that look like to bring glory to God? Well, basically, bringing glory to God is praising Him, it's worshiping Him, it's following Him. Glorifying God is a combination of our belief and our behavior. It's praising and obeying. Basically, giving glory to God is going, whoa! That's for all the people that are struggling in the dark. It's going, whoa! God, it is amazing. What you've done and what you're all about really blows my mind. As a result of who you are and what you've done, I am going to honor you with what I believe and what I do. That's glorifying God. The second word, though, answers a question. If we're saying one of the things we need to do is glorify God, you might ask the question, why should I? What has God done, or what is it about God that makes Him worthy of me glorifying Him? That takes us to the second word, and that second word is peace. Now, if I ask you what is peace, you might go, well, peace is the end of war. Peace is when the conflict has stopped. There is now peace. Thing is, that is a semi-correct answer. It's true that peace is sometimes the stopping of conflict, but that's not the fullness of peace. Hebrew word is shalom, and when the Bible talks about shalom, it's talking about something much bigger than the stopping of violence. Shalom is really wholeness. Shalom is taking that which is broken and making it whole again. Shalom is mending. Shalom is healing. I have managed to break both of my collarbones. In eighth grade, broke this one, actually cracked it. In 11th grade, I broke this one. Collarbones are designed to go like this. And in 11th grade, mine went like that. Both times I broke my collarbones, I was playing football. One of the times I was in the doctor's office. The doctor came up to me and goes, "Did you do that playing stupid ball?" And I said, "No, I was playing football." And he said, "That's what I said." Fair enough. Now, if somebody would have come into that room while my collarbone was like this and said, "Mike, Is your collarbone at peace? I would have said, no! But they would have looked at me and said, but Mike, the violence has ended. It is no longer being broken. They go, it really hurts still. No, my collarbone would not have been at peace until it was this again. My collarbone would not be at peace until it was whole, until it was mended, until it was healed. When the Bible talks about peace, that's what it's talking about. It's talking about that which was once broken being made strong again. That which was broken being healed and whole. That's peace. In the 9th chapter of Isaiah, it says the people walking in darkness, the people that are walking in pain, the people that are walking in fear, those people, us, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the one that brings the wholeness and healing that we need. This is what the angels are proclaiming. One of my favorite Christmas songs is Mary's Boy Child. First time I ever heard it, Harry Belafonte. More recently, I heard it sung by Harry Connick Jr. Apparently, to sing that song, your first name has to be Harry. But in the chorus of that song, it says, "Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day." It's a beautiful song. I like it a lot. Problem is, that song is not completely accurate. Parts of it are. "Hark now, hear the angels sing." Check. "A new king born today." Yes. "And man will live," or "humankind will live forevermore." Yes. "Because of Christmas Day." Nope. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Christmas for lots and lots and lots of reasons. But that which brings us peace, that which brings us restoration, that which restores our relationship with the Almighty, that which brings forgiveness, wholeness, healing, is not the result of Christmas. It's the result of Good Friday and Easter. What we ultimately celebrate is the shalom that did not necessarily come in a manger, but on a cross. It's interesting, if you were to read through all of the Bible, you would find very little encouragement to celebrate Christmas. This might be a shock to you, but seriously, if you read through the Bible, not much said about Christmas, and in the letters written to all the churches in the first century, you find no encouragement to go, hey, make a big deal about Christmas. But you see lots and lots of encouragement and instruction to remember Easter. When we gather together on a night like tonight, we celebrate what happens here because we know that it ultimately leads to here. And it's this that provides the shalom that we all need. This is why we try to remember, and we did this a couple weeks ago, we remember what Michael Card wrote in his book, A Violent Grace. "He was born to die so I could be born to new life. He suffered temptation so I can experience victory. He was betrayed, so I might know his faithfulness. He was arrested and bound, so I could be rescued from bondage. He stood trial alone, so I might have an advocate. He was wounded, so I could be healed. He endured mockery, so I could know dignity and joy. He was condemned, so the truth could set me free. He was nailed to a cross, so I might escape judgment. He was stretched out between thieves, so I could know the reach of his love. He suffered thirst, so I could drink living water. He said, "It is finished," so I could begin my walk of faith. He was God's lamb slain, so I could claim his sacrifice as my own. He was forsaken by the Father, so I would never be rejected. He chose the shame of weakness, so I could know the hope of glory. He shed his blood, so I could be white as snow. His heart was pierced, so mine could be made whole. He died and was buried, so the grave could not hold me. He rose again, so I might experience eternal life. He is known by his scars, so I will take up my cross and follow him. So I will take up my cross and follow him. In response to what he has done, starting in a manger and ending on a cross, I will choose to not only believe, but allow my behavior to be modeled after his son Jesus. In response to what was done here, and here, I will choose to glorify the Prince of Peace. How about you? Would you pray with me, please?